Dear fellow travelers to eternity, the Bible has much to say to us about every circumstance in which we can find ourselves. For every time and for every season that there is under the heaven, the Lord gives us something we must do. When you are young, seek your Creator in the days of your youth. When you are afraid, put your trust in the Lord. When you are joyful, sing psalms. When you are brought before judges in the earth, don't prepare a speech. When you are harvesting the harvest of your fields, leave the corners for strangers and for widows to glean. The Bible speaks to every need, to every circumstance. And it tells us also what to do when we are in affliction, when we are in tribulation, as we hope to hear in our text, which you can find in Deuteronomy 4, verse 29 through 31. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. If thou seek him, with all thy heart and with all thy soul, when thou art in tribulation, and all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days, if thou turn to the Lord thy God, and shall be obedient unto his voice, for the Lord thy God is a merciful God, he will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers which he sware unto them. Thus far our text. Our theme looking to the Lord tonight is when you are in tribulation. When you are in tribulation, or the value of adversity. First of all, we'll see here the situation. Secondly, the direction. And thirdly, the motivation. When you are in tribulation, the value of adversity, situation, direction, motivation. When you are in tribulation. As I mentioned, Moses is here speaking to the people, about to leave them. It's like a father being taken away, speaking to his children. You'll face many things, he says. Many things will meet you in distant years. And you'll have to face them without me. But may you face them with the Lord, who speaks to you even now in his word. And Moses knows by the spirit of prophecy the things that will befall them. He knows that these people have wayward hearts. The past proves it. What happened at Baal Peor when the people committed immorality with the Moabites. Of course, the golden calf, idolatry. Moses knew their hearts. They were a stiff-necked people. And not only did he know the past, but by the spirit of prophecy, he knew the future. And he speaks about it in verses 25 and 26. And he says, the day is coming when you'll make a graven image, the likeness of anything, and do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. And because of that, the Lord, who is a jealous God, will scatter the people outside the land of promise. It's as if the Lord says, you want to worship other gods? You will do so, but not on my land, not on my territory, not the land that I gave you as an inheritance. Go then to these other nations, worship their gods, but on their land. And you will be in tribulation. When you are in tribulation, this word in the original is a very interesting word. It means distress. It actually literally means straits, a tight place, And adversity is straits, isn't it? It's a place where it feels like the walls are coming in upon you, where you feel hemmed in. And that can happen in our lives as well, can't it? That circumstances have such an oppressive effect upon us that it feels sometimes like the walls are closing in upon us, like we are in a narrow place, a straight place. We can't even breathe. I wonder if you've ever felt like that. Like burdens will crush you unless there's relief. And you look maybe, you look this way, you look that way, you look ahead of you, you look behind you. Is there something that can keep these walls from crushing me? But so often the things that we look to, they appear to be even worse. We try to escape this way or that way, but no escape. Tribulation, straits, constricting providences that hem us in. When you are in tribulation, the prodigal son, when he left home, he thought freedom was awaiting him. When all his money dried up, his friends left him, and life came crashing down. And he tried to find a way out. He sold himself into servitude and was forced to feed the swine and couldn't even so much as eat what they ate. And he was in tribulation. Life had caught up with him. Slavery and bondage had come after him. His sin had found him out. And congregation, literally in our text, it says, not just when you are in tribulation, but when tribulation finds you, when it comes after you, when it pinpoints you and encircles you, when it finds you. Friends, sin will find you out. It may not look like that at the outset. It may look like liberty. It might look like pleasure. But sin has fetters or chains bound to it. And with every sin and every day spent in sin, you are simply binding yourself further and more when you are in tribulation. Well, Moses sees across the centuries and he sees this wayward people. They will go after idols. They will bind themselves to these idols, and these idols will bind them, and tribulation will come. And what a mercy it is when tribulation comes after you. Literally, it says here, when all these things are come upon you, or even better, when all these words that I have spoken are come upon you, all the things that I am prophesying, when they come upon you. One author says, Thomas Casey says, the truth is the word and the rod teach the same lessons. The rod many times is but the word's remembrancer. And therefore, as the rod quickens the word, so the rod will revive and sanctify the teachings of the word. They mutually help to set one upon another with deeper impressions. Indeed, how true that is. God can hound you in providence, and that providence can remind you of his word. What a mercy it is, I say again, when God's providence comes after you and shows you that the sin that you've been pursuing and indulging is something that unless you turn from it, by God's grace, it will drag you further and further down to destruction. I wonder if you can relate in any way in your life, perhaps in times past, or maybe someone here today can sense it. the hound of heaven is after me. When you are in tribulation, Spurgeon says, affliction is the dark horse on which the Lord often comes riding to find out his people. In congregation, this situation we're talking about, this tribulation we're speaking about, can be the greatest blessing in your life. If it shows you, first of all, that you are not God, but that you are under God, who knows you, who sees you, who's after you. It can be a blessing in your life if it shows you your sin, your transgressions, and that you have transgressed against all of God's commandments and kept none of them. It can be a blessing in your life if it brings you, like it did the prodigal, to his senses. We read there in Luke 15 that he came to himself. He came for the first time in his life to himself. Reality broke in upon him for the first time. Up till that moment, he had been, in a certain sense, insane in his quest, in his pursuit of sin. And there, among the swine, for the first time, he has a reasonable thought, a rational thought. My Father's servants have more than they could ever wish for, and I perish with hunger. When you are in tribulation. In tribulation, congregation can be a blessing when it makes us to know that we need the Lord. In my affliction, this I found, that human help is vain. Affliction is a blessing when it makes us to realize the power of the word, both for threatening, that God is true to his threats, and if he's true to his threats, perhaps he's just as true to his promises and to his calls and to his beckonings. And we seek the Lord, as we see in our second point, not just the situation of tribulation, but the great call to us in tribulation. And congregation, look with me at our text, verses 29 and 30. There's three things that the Lord tells us to do when we are in tribulation. Children, you can see this too. 29. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. That's the first thing. Numbers 30. When thou art in tribulation and all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days, if thou turn to the Lord. So seek the Lord, turn to the Lord, and then the end of 30. And shall be obedient to his voice. So you heed the Lord. You listen to the Lord. And you listen so as to obey what he says. Do what he says, whatever it is. Seek the Lord, turn to the Lord, and obey the Lord. What do you do when you're in tribulation? Many of us, we get bitter. Why is this happening to me? I don't deserve this. We become angry at people around us or even at God himself. Or we become despondent and despairing. And we throw up our arms and say, it's never going to be anything. All these things are against me. And that's what each of us does by nature. Left to ourselves, one of those three things or something like that. But God says, when you are in tribulation, seek, turn, and listen. Seek the Lord. What does that mean? To seek the Lord means you know that you've lost him and that you must have him, you must find him. And so you go looking for him. And where do you look? You look in his word. You look on your knees. You seek for him in prayer. You cry out to him like a child who has lost his father and mother. Maybe they've been shopping somewhere or walking somewhere, and the child's gone off by himself or herself there in the woods, and then they turn around and they all of a sudden realize they're lost. What do? You cry. You make a loud noise. You cry out for the one whom you've lost. You seek him. Seek the Lord. What an amazing thing that the Lord comes and says, seek me. Seek me. I can be found. In fact, as we'll see later, he's very close. Seek the Lord. But secondly, turn to him. And what that means is that in our sin, we turn away from the Lord. And that's what we did in paradise. And that's what you and I do by our sin, is we literally turn away from the Lord. Here's the Lord. The Lord says this, and we turn away from him. And we do our own thing. But when in true repentance we turn to the Lord, then we face him, the great God against whom we've sinned, but we face the one with whom we have to do, and the one who only can help us, who alone can help us. Turn me, we pray, and I shall be turned. Such a struggle, isn't it? It's such a struggle to give up. A lot of times we try to find a way back by ourselves, but the Lord says simply, turn. Turn, O ye backsliding people. Turn unto me. The Lord's right there. It's as if he's right there behind us, and he says, turn unto me and live. Seek the Lord. Turn unto him. And hear his voice. And one thing the Lord does in our hearts and lives when he brings us to true repentance is we need his voice. The words which we rebelled against and pushed away from ourselves, we need them now. Because we can no longer trust our own hearts, and we know the voices of our own heart and the voices of those around us are not to be trusted. We need the Lord. We need his word. Lord, who art thou? And what wouldst thou have me to do? Speak, Lord. Teach me. Lead me. Lord, don't leave me to myself. Don't leave me with the words of man. Speak. 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 And the Lord's words, congregation, are such amazing words. They are powerful. They are so powerful that they break the cedars of Lebanon, the Bible says. But they are at the same time, to the sinner that turns to the Lord by his grace and by his Holy Spirit, those words so powerful that they give life, that they are yet so tender. When the Lord says, I have blotted out thy transgressions as a thick cloud, I will remember thy sins and thine iniquities no more. That voice of the Lord, do you need that? Do you love that? Is that your life? Is that your only hope? Seek the Lord. Turn to the Lord and heed his voice. Congregation, when you are in tribulation, is this what you do? This is what we must do. This is the only way. This is the way. Walk ye in it. If that's where you are tonight, God is speaking to you. This oppressive tribulation that finds you, makes you realize that you've strayed from the Lord. It's there to call you back to the Lord. You cannot do this without the Lord. And the Lord congregation gives us many encouragements or motivations, as we see in our final point. The Lord knows our frame. The Lord knows how prone we are to despond. The Lord knows how prone we are to faint and not to believe, at least not to fully believe. And so he comes here in our text with five motivations or five encouragements. Look at them with me here in our text. First is in verse 31. For the Lord thy God is a merciful God. All those words are precious. The Lord, the faithful Jehovah, the covenant-keeping God. When you've broken covenant, he's still the Lord. That's his name. I, the Lord, change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. And he goes so far as to say, the Lord, thy God, your God. Though you didn't want me, though you turned from me, though you essentially said, no God, I'm still in the gospel, your God, for the Lord, your God. Just think of those words here for a moment. Think of these people in the context. They're idolatrous people. They go after every god in the world. Forsake the one and true God. And what does the one and true God say? That's my people. That's my bride. And I am thy God. What tenderness, what love. Merciful, full of compassion. What an encouragement. Merciful. If you have drunk one sip of the mercy of God, you will be addicted, I say it reverently, forever, to the mercy of God. You need it every day. That's your life. That's your only hope, is the mercy of God. And the Lord holds out his character here to people in tribulation because of their sin. He says, I am a merciful God to sinners like you. And then secondly here, another encouragement, he says, he will not forsake thee. He will not forsake thee. Though we have forsaken him, he will not forsake the sinner who forsakes him. He comes after him. He comes pursuing him. He comes hounding him. He did this ultimately in his Son when the Son left the bosom of the Father, the glories of heaven. Why? The angels would have wondered, why is the Lord of glory leaving the glories of heaven, the bosom of the Father, to go to this wretched world, to hound sinners, to pursue sinners that are bent on destruction, who are in effect in their sins saying to hell, hell, here I come. The Son of God goes after them, and his love pursues them, and his mercy comes after them. I will not forsake you. While there's life, there's hope. I will not forsake you. And my dear Christian friend, that's an encouragement to you too, because you and I backslide days without number. I will not forsake you. That's my hope. That's my only hope. Because if it depended on me, even ever so slightly, there's no hope. But the Lord says, he's a merciful God. I will not forsake thee. And thirdly, I will not destroy thee. Destroy thee. You know, that's what sin does. O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself. But in me is thy hope. And in me is thy help. The Lord will not destroy the sinner who turns to him, who comes to him. Amazing. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they are known of me, and they shall never perish. Never perish. They cannot perish. I will not destroy you, though I deserve it. That's what I deserve, to be destroyed forever, to go lost forever, to perish forever because of my sin. The Lord says so freely, so graciously, I will not forsake you. I will not destroy you. I will not forget the covenant of thy fathers, which I swear unto them. You see, the Lord made an oath. He made a covenant. He swore an oath, and he remains faithful to his oath. He will not go back on it. We are covenant breakers, all of us. But God keeps covenant. He's faithful to the oath that he has sworn in his Son and through his Son to his people. My covenant is sure, established, secure. I cannot and I will not break it. And the fifth and last encouragement, congregation, that's back in verse 29. I skipped over it, but here it is. If from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. Thou shalt find him. If thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul, and what that means is that you seek sincerely, that you don't hold back. You don't just seek the Lord partially and you say, you know, I'm going to seek the Lord just a little bit, but in the meantime, I'm going to hold on to this and hold on to that, to some escape routes, to some idols, to some sins, to some backup plans. No! Other refuge have I none. Hangs my helpless soul on thee. That's what we do when we are on this errand of seeking mercy from God. And sure, our heart is so sluggish and our soul is so sluggish, I know, but then we say and we cry, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. If thou dost not help me against my unbelief, I'll never get there, but help me, I cry, help me. And this is the promise of the Lord. Thou shalt find him. Thou shalt find him. The Lord will make himself found. He will not hide himself from the returning sinner. You will find him, my friend. Put your finger there. Plead it before the Lord. Lord, thy word says, I will find thee. Thou canst not break thy word. And so, friends, it can never be a fruitless errand when we seek the Lord. You will find him. And the amazing thing is this, congregation. This is all for Christ's sake. Because Christ, who never deserved any tribulation, any adversity, the walls came in upon him. The straits came upon him. The waters have gone over my soul. If anything enclosed anyone who was ever here upon the earth, it was him. The bulls of Bashan, they came after him. Enemies, reproaches, and his father's smile was hid from him. And in that moment there of dereliction on the cross, he sought the Lord, but heaven was quiet and the Father was silent. Why? Why hast thou forsaken me? Friends, he was in tribulation without any escape in order that you and I, when we are in tribulation, there is God right there with the sinner. Emmanuel. God with us, saying, seek me. Sinner, turn to me. Sinner, hear my voice. I'm right here. I'm with you in your tribulation, not for your sakes. I do it not for your sakes, but I do it for mine own name's sake, for Jesus' sake. And congregation, when I see that, then I say, Lord Jesus, why ever didst thou go into tribulation for the likes of me, wretched sinner that I am, sinned against thee and provoked thee to thy face. Why ever? Why ever? An eternity of hell for me. There's one word. Love. Mercy. He did it because of what was in his heart for sinners like you. And he so uses tribulation in your life to turn you from idols to serve the living God. He sanctifies the rod in order to draw you back to him. Friends, why does it take that in our lives? Why must the Lord pursue us with the rod? Why don't we just listen to him and just turn and seek him again? No. He comes with the rod. And he draws us back to himself. William Bridge says, "Now all the afflictions of the saints are but their medicine, prescribed and given them by the hand of their loving Father. Affliction is God's soap. Before a godly man enters into affliction, his graces are mixed with sin, his faith with unbelief, humility with pride, zeal with sloth. Through the soap of affliction, through tribulation, his garments and robes are made pure and washed." That's how the Father uses tribulation in the life of his people. Congregation, this is your God. This is the wonder-working God who's found a way for sinners like you to come back into his arms and into his bosom. Through his seeking word, through the rod that comes after you to draw you back to himself and to turn and to see that what I deserve, he bore. And that's the beginning of heaven in your soul, when you realize he, for me, who should have perished everlastingly. That's wonder. That's love divine, all loves excelling. And you bask in that great, great awe and wonder. Lord, who is a God like unto thee? Though we oft have sinned against him, still his grace and his love abide. My friends, where are you? Are you in tribulation? God's after you. Seek. Turn. Listen. He's there. He's everything. Amen.